Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
If you know Christ, you were not designed or called to journey through life alone. You're called to journey through life with a church family, striving together with one heart and one mind. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we learn how to strive together. You know, a lot of churches have lost the ability to stay unified, to stand together for the gospel, to strive together with one heart, one mind, and one spirit for the faith of the gospel. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to rediscover and begin discovering how to strive together. Welcome to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. And today we're going to study how to strive together. We're learning and relearning how to not go through life alone, but to arm in arm, heart to heart, shoulder to shoulder with our church family for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive together for the faith. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources there, a daily devotional, the Daily in the Word podcast, as well as Dr. Chappell's two newest books. The first one, Stewarding Life, a beautiful hardback book that helps you understand how to take one lifetime of limited resources and live it for eternal priorities. The second is a book entitled Sacred Motives, 10 Reasons to Get Out of Bed Tomorrow Morning and Live for God. Both of these books will encourage and strengthen your walk with God, and you can find out more about them at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today's text is Luke chapter 15. We're studying how to strive together for family restoration. Here's Paul Chappell.
You show me a young man or a married man or a woman that follows after their lust, and they'll think they're having a big time and it tastes good and it's a wonderful thing. What they don't realize is they are being fooled by the wicked one. Have you ever seen a young person go from one immorality to another, to drugs, to drink, to party, to piercing, to tattoo, and somewhere 4, 5, 10 years later they wake up and there's bags under their eyes and their health is gone and their looks are disheveled and their purity has been lost, and they realize, what was I doing? All of the while, a mother, a father, a grandmother, they're saying, what's wrong with them? Why is this happening? Satan has been fooling them with his tricks. Look at verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into his fields to feed swine. You understand the story. He devoured his living, Luke 15, 30, living with harlots, the Bible says. Now he's out of money. Now the good times have stopped. The drink is not flowing. And the Bible says in Proverbs 21, 20, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Now he's on the side of the road by Target saying, I need some money. He's got a little cardboard sign. I'll feed your pigs. I had too much to drink. I had too much methamphetamine. I need some help. He's telling the world now. And some old boy says, hey, Jewish boy, go feed the pigs. Why, the Jews were not even to be around pigs. But for his own survival's sake, he's living with the pigs. The destruction of family unity always comes when there is a focus on self, when there is a failure to honor parents, and the forsaking of the family values that had been given. But notice, secondly, the decision for family restoration. Someone says, Pastor, sometimes I've experienced this in my life and in my family, and maybe you're a dad here today and you've got a wayward son or daughter, and maybe you've experienced that for a month or a year and you know that it hurts. How can we move from this point of destruction to the place of restoration? How does that happen? I mean, is there some counselor with a magic wand? How can we see families that seemingly are ripping apart get back together? I'm going to show you God's plan for family restoration. Notice, first of all, a very important statement in verse 17, if you would, please. And remember where he's at now. Remember where this young man is at. He's in the pig's pen. And notice what it says in verse 17. And when he came to himself. He's in the pig's pen. He's eating the food of the swine. And it says, and when he came to himself. All right, let's say that together. And when he... The first thing that must happen if a family's going to be restored is that there must be the realization of sin. We must call it what it is. Listen, not the rationalization. I will tell you what gets you into sin is rationalization. Saying, well, my wife's not a good woman. She doesn't meet my needs. That's rationalization. I will tell you what gets you into sin. Well, my parents are mean and they don't understand me, so I'm going to go do what my friends get to do. Their parents don't care. That's rationalization. That's what got you into the problem. Are you with me this morning? But what gets you out of the problem is realization of the fact that you have been duped by the devil, and this young man came to himself. Kent Hughes, in his book, The Disciplines of a Godly Man, wrote, and I quote, Diedrich Bonhoeffer made the observation that when lust takes control, at this moment Satan does not fill us with hatred of God, but with forgetfulness of God. When we are in the grip of lust, the reality of God fades. Do you think a young man who maybe was raised in a Christian home, as he's now in drink, or maybe as he's watching wicked things on certain pay channels, or maybe as he's with all these bombastic, cursing, ungodly friends who can't think in the any more worst of terms. As he's in that environment, it's not so much that this young man doesn't believe in God necessarily. It's that he has forgotten God. He's not thinking about God when he's there at the cage fighting party or wherever people go these days. It's not that he hates God. He just forgot God. But there comes a point in time when you hit bottom. And that's why sometimes the worst thing a parent can do for a backslidden child is to keep giving them money. Here's some money, honey. Hey, as long as they're doing this, as long as they're living like an animal, don't support their habit. Because at some point in time, they need to wake up and come to themselves. They need to wake up to what's going on. And notice 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Godly sorrow. In other words, before repentance even came, we're going to get to repentance in a moment, there had to be the realization. There had to be godly sorrow. He had to wake up in that pig's pen and go, I can't believe this. What am I doing? And you say, well, don't you feel sorry for people in the pig's pen? Yes, but sometimes it takes the pig's pen. Hey, sometimes it takes unemployment. Sometimes it takes being put out of an apartment. Sometimes it's going to take difficulty before someone will get right with God. And that's what it took for him. He had to have sorrow, the realization of sin. This past week, I was with my boys and over in Arizona, and my son Matt was able to come over for a few days. And so I said to the boys and to the two sons-in-laws, let's go out golfing. And so we went out and we were having a lot of fun. We were losing a lot of golf balls that day, just enjoying the fellowship. And it was hot. And Matthew kept reaching back. He was in my cart. He kept reaching back into the cart and eating ice. They had a little bucket full of ice. He just eating ice and eating ice and I mean, just chomping on that ice, you know, having a good time with it. And I didn't think much of it. After a little while, Larry pulled up in his golf cart next to us, and he was just kind of saying hi, and we said hi. And Matthew's chomping on that ice, and he looked over at Larry's golf cart. There was a similar little bucket, and on the bucket, there was a little sign that said, ice is not for human consumption. And he read it out loud. Ice is not for human consumption. I don't know why. I laughed harder at that than anything we did all week long. And Matt realized, he said, man, I've been eating this ice. He had probably eaten a gallon of that ice before. And he got out of our cart and he looked, and sure enough, right on our little bucket, it said, ice is not for human consumption. A few minutes later, a little lady came by in a cart selling soft drinks and stuff. And I said, ma'am, I saw the sign. It says, ice is not for human. Oh, yeah. She said a guy died from that a couple years ago. She's one of these real talkative gals. Oh, I think it was E. coli. And she's going on and on about it, you know. I mean, Matt had a sudden realization about that ice. And he repented of ice eating. Just immediately. Now, until you view sin that way, you don't know what repentance is. We have got to realize that it is sin that's ruining our family. And then secondly, there must then be repentance of it. Verse 18. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now, listen very carefully. One of the reasons that men and women and teenagers do not repent to their parents or to their spouses is because they've never gotten right with God in the first place. Please remember that all sin is first and foremost against God. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Listen, you say, well, Pastor Chapel, if someone goes out and they're on a binge and they're living a party life and they're doing terrible things, and then they come back to church, shouldn't we be glad? Yes, we should be glad, and we'll see in a moment, we should welcome them as the Father, welcome them. But listen, we ought not to be going out in the world, living like that, coming back into church for a little appearance, back out in the world. That's not the game that we're talking about here this morning. We've got to recognize that God is not pleased with rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft, which manifests itself in living in the riotous harlotry type of a life that this young man was living in, you see. And there's three quick characteristics of a repentant heart. First, we see that his heart was changed. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and say, I have sinned. Second, it was a contrite heart. Verse 19, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, when someone comes in and they want to make things right, but the attitude's kind of like, hey, dude, what's going on? Yeah, you know, I kind of fell off the wagon for a while, you know, but hey, what's going on? Let's have a good time here. Let's all go to church and sing and have... No. When someone gets right with God, their heart is, you know what? Apart from the grace of God, I don't even deserve to sit here right now. His heart was contrite, and then he had a compelled heart to change. Verse 20. The Bible says that he arose and he went to his father. He went to his father. Now, the decision for family restoration. A family can always be healed if there will first be the repentance of the one who did the breaking or the fracturing in the first place. This young man had to repent. And when he did, I want you to see with me finally the delight of family reunion. The delight of family reunion. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now I want you to see the forgiveness of the father. And I want you to recognize as we consider this matter of forgiveness, that this man's world had been turned upside down when that boy left. His life had never been the same. How many of you understand that when your personal life is not right, it affects everything else going on in your life? Whether it's Tiger Woods, who hasn't won a major tournament since his personal problems, or whether it's you or whether it's me, I'm telling you that when something's not right at home, it's hard for business just to be as usual. And you see in this situation, a father, the Bible tells us that as the young man comes back in verse number 20, when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion. Now, I don't know what your response would be. Sometimes I try to help families, and maybe they've had a wife who's angry because her husband did something bad. Or the husband's who's angry, or maybe a son or a daughter became promiscuous, or maybe even got pregnant, and yet here's these upstanding people in the church, and they're bitter and they're angry. And we've been members maybe for 5 or 10 years, and now someone has done something terrible. And I'm not insensitive to that. There's nothing worse than having rebellion in the family. There's nothing more hurtful than having a teenager or a young person go away. And no, we should not support their sin. I understand that. But I'm saying this morning that when they do repent, listen to me, lady, when your husband repents, man, when your wife repents, when your children repent, there is one response if you want to be like Jesus, and that is to forgive your family. Amen. I can see that father in my mind's eye. I believe nearly every day he got out on that front porch and he sat out there. And I believe every day he looked for that boy to come back. I believe every day he thought, I wish he'd come home. I think every day he thought, where is he? Lord, bring him home. Oh God, I miss him. Oh Lord, spare his life. Bring him home. Oh, the father loved the son. The father missed the son. The father wanted his son to come back home. Oh, how he'd been a benevolent, kind father, yet he missed his boy. One day he's sitting on that bench on the front porch, and he looks out, and he sees what he thinks is his son, and he rises up, and the Bible says when he realized it was his son, he wasn't filled with anger. He didn't say, I'll let you back in this house if you first go do your chores. I'll let you back in this house if you kiss my big toe. He didn't make any provision like that. When the father saw him, the father simply had compassion on him. And I'm going to tell you something, friend, in my life, back in April the 5th, 1972, I was just a young man, but I was lost and without Jesus. And I want to tell you that Jesus Christ saved my soul. And he didn't say to me, I might save you if you do this, this, and this. I might save you if you're a good boy for 20 more years. But God the Father loved me and had compassion on me. And anyone that comes to him with a heart of repentance, he will in no wise cast them out. There's a God in heaven who loves you today, my friend. I'm so glad he has compassion on me today. Who are you to get all up in your judgment on someone that's trying to get right? Sometimes I'd like to take some unforgiving wives and you just hold it over your husband and say, go sleep at your mother's then. Someone didn't spank you enough, I don't think, when you were being raised. Some of you men get all up and mad at your wife. Someone needs to take you out to the woodshed. Listen, who are we to not be forgiving in our spirit? You want to traipse into this church and act like everything's just fine and you're just great, and it's not fine until there's reunion in the family, my friends, what I'm saying. It's not enough to fake like everything's fine when there's a schism or when there's a problem. Listen, God says if there's someone that has sinned and they are repenting, then don't continue in your anger at them, but forgive them, you see. How many of you are thankful today that God forgave you? And let me tell you what the Bible says in Ephesians. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Say, well, my husband doesn't deserve forgiveness, and neither do you, ma'am. My wife doesn't deserve forgiveness, and neither do you, sir. Oh, listen today. None of us deserve forgiveness. But the Father had compassion. Oh, listen, friend, Ephesians chapter 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, listen, what a blessing to see that God gave forgiveness. Now, listen to me. God is not as interested in assigning blame as he is in solving the problem. Do you see that third point? Family reunion. Would you say that with me? Family. Someone says, well, my husband did these 17 things. Okay, I'll give you 5 more. We can make it 22. But my wife did these, or our teenager did this. You're missing the point here. The point is not about making lists. God's not interested in those lists. Those lists he put on the cross. The point is about, I like how the songwriter said, what sin are you talking about? Those sins are under the blood, amen? And we're to give forgiveness. Romans 3:25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Propitiation means a covering. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Forgiveness. Oh, if there's going to be reunion, there must be repentance on the part of the sinner, and there must be forgiveness from the rest of the family, whether it's the older brother who's jealous or whether it's someone else. There must be forgiveness, and that will bring fellowship. Notice what happens in verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Listen, friend, the father who was waiting for the son to come back, the father who had compassion, the father who kissed him on his neck. He was not angry. He was not unwilling to forgive, but he said, come and have fellowship with me. Listen, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Jesus says, come and have fellowship with me. You are a part of this family. And notice what the father says there in verse 22. He says, bring forth the best robe and bring forth the ring and the shoes. Do you realize what is happening here? This young man comes from sin and from the pig's pen, and the father sees him and the father forgives him. And the father says, come. And he says, bring him his robe and bring him his ring and bring him his shoes. And it reminds me of what Jesus does when someone repents of their sin and comes for salvation. You see, the robe is a picture of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when someone receives Jesus as their Savior, then they are made righteous by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is to say, my friend, there's nothing righteous about me. There's nothing righteous about you. But when you accept Jesus as your Savior, then God the Father robes you in the righteousness of God the Son. Oh, there's nothing righteous about Paul Chapel, but there's something wonderfully righteous about Jesus Christ. And I am robed in His righteousness today. And if you are saved, you are robed in His righteousness. And then the father said, put the ring on his finger. In the Oriental custom, the ring would have a signet or a stamp, if you will. It was the ring of sonship. And what the father was saying was, welcome back to the family, son. You don't have to do your chores to earn acceptance. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Put my robe of righteousness upon him. Put my ring of sonship upon his finger, put my shoes upon his feet, that he might know he is a part of this family and that I am providing for him. And I just say again this morning, thank God for the wonderful grace of Jesus. He didn't have to save me. I didn't deserve to be saved, nor does any sinner deserve to be saved. But the wonderful grace of Jesus is pictured here when the Father says, welcome home. Welcome home. How we ought to sing it and thank God today for the wonderful grace of Jesus. Why was there a family reunion this day? Because a sinner repented truly before God and his Father. And because a father, instead of being a man filled with bitterness, the father willingly forgave and willingly received. Have you ever willingly received the forgiveness of the Father? Do you know today that your sins are forgiven? Has there been a time in your life when you just came to your senses and said, what am I doing? I am a sinner and without hope. And Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and save me. If you've never done that, you can do that today. And if you're here today and your family is not what it appears to be as you sit in these pews, why don't you do something about it? If you're the offender, why don't you repent? If you're the offended, why don't you forgive?
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chapel on today's edition of Daily in the Word. He's teaching and preaching through a series entitled Striving Together. We're rediscovering church life, how to strive together with other Christians in a fruitful and faithful local church family. You can hear all of the broadcasts in this series when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Also, you'll find other resources like the Daily in the Word podcast or the devotional. We hope you'll subscribe to these and use them or pass them along to a friend. All of this is found at dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chappell's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.